is Joyce Community Church, where you can wake up to the love of God, grow in Christ, and step out in service. You are listening to our weekly sermon featuring Pastor John Kyler.
So, I want to begin today by telling you a story that I've told at least once a month for 10 years since I first heard it. It's about a visitor who goes to the Australian outback, and he happens upon a cattle ranch, and he's intrigued by the seemingly endless miles of farming country with no signs of fences anywhere. So he stops and he asks a local rancher how he keeps track of his cattle. And the rancher replied, "Oh, that's not a problem. See, out here we dig wells instead of building fence. There's no need to fence the cattle in when they're highly motivated to stay within range of the water, their most important source of life. So why would I tell you this story over and over and over and over and over and over again? Well, I tell it, first off, for those of you who haven't heard it before. For those of you who are guests, it captures a little picture of the vision of the kind of church that we want to be. That we don't want to be a fence-building church, we want to be a well-digging church. I tell it to those of us who've heard it so many times, we're a little tired of it. I tell it to us as well, to remind us that our task as God's people is to remove every barrier possible or every fence that prevents others from encountering the living water, which is Christ. That we are to live curious lives that draws others towards Christ. I tell it because it's a good illustration of what missiologist Paul Hebert calls a centered set. And he uses this mathematical term to distinguish centered sets from bounded sets. You see, bounded sets are those sets that are clearly defined by a particular boundary marker. That boundary identifies the things that are in the set and those things that do not belong to the set. Items in the set are uniform and share similar characteristics. For instance, take apples. There's Macintosh apples, there's Granny Smith apples, there's Gala apples, and they're all apples sharing the same characteristics and uniformity. So apples become one set. You don't find bananas in that set of apples. You don't find oranges in that set of apples. It is a set that is defined by the boundaries around it. The story, the Australian Outback story, is a good example of a centered set where the set is defined not by the boundaries, but by a value at the center of the set. In the story, it's the well. In our lives, it's Jesus. The set then becomes all those items that are moving towards the center. They belong to the set. The center allows for variation within the set without requiring uniformity that's necessitated by a bounded set. The value of this idea, this understanding between the centered set and bounded set, is that it, it assumes that when we apply this to ourselves that each one of us is made to know God and that we're all on a spiritual journey. Some of us more aware of that in ourselves, or some of us are trying to satisfy that need in other ways. It tells us that we are all fellow pilgrims on the same journey, but in different places, facing different issues. One of the important things is that it should eliminate for us a thinking of them versus us, innies versus outies. But one thing that people sometimes hear, though it's when I talk about centered set and bounded sets, is they confuse this idea of centered set with a fuzzy set. Now, a fuzzy set has no center. In a fuzzy set, you can believe whatever you want, whenever you want, however you want to believe it. There is nothing in there at all to hold it together. But in the centered set, there is a certain particular value at the center that's drawing us all towards that one center. I tell you this story because it's important in shaping our identity as God's people. So now I want to tell you another story that I think fleshes out and gives meaning to this idea of the Australian outback. And so it happened that Jesus, when he heard that the Pharisees had learned that Jesus was baptizing and gaining more disciples than John, in fact, that wasn't true. Jesus wasn't baptizing anyone. It was his disciples. He left Judea. He left Judea and went once more to Galilee. Now, Jesus had to go through Samaria. And so he went to a town in Samaria called Sychar, where the plot of land that Jacob had given to his son Joseph was. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, as tired as he was from the journey, sat down to rest. He sent his disciples into town to buy some food. It was about noon. A Samaritan woman came to draw water from the well. And Jesus said to her, "Will you give me a drink?" "You are a Jew, and I'm a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink?" If you knew the gift of God and he who gives it, you would have asked him for a drink, and he would have given you living water. "Sir, you have no bucket, and the well is deep. Where are you going to get this living water?" "I tell you the truth. Anyone who drinks the water that I give will never thirst. But if they drink this water, they will be thirsty again. And the water that I give them will bubble up within them and become a spring to eternal life." "Give me some of this water." Go call your husband and come back." "I have no. you are right when you say you have no husband. In fact, you have had 5 husbands. And the man you are with now is not your husband. Sir, I see that you are a prophet. We know that when the Messiah comes, he will reveal everything to us. I tell you, Jesus said to the woman, that the time is coming and is now here when you will, those who worship God will worship in spirit and in truth. For those are the worshipers that God seeks. For God is spirit, and anyone who worships him will worship him in spirit and truth. You Jews say that this is the place that we should worship. That Jerusalem is the place that we should worship. But our ancestors say that we should worship here. And Jesus said, I tell you the truth. The hour has come and is now here, when those who worship the Father will worship him in the spirit and in truth. I see, said the woman, that you are a prophet. And we know that when the Messiah comes, he will explain all of this to us. And Jesus said to her, I, the one speaking to you, am he. Just then, Jesus' disciples came back from town, and they saw him talking to the woman, but no one dared to ask her, what do you want? Or him, why is he talking to her? And then she left her jar. And she went back into town and she told the people, come see the man who told me everything I had ever done. Could this be the Messiah? And the people left the town and went to where Jesus was. Meanwhile, the disciples said to Jesus, Teacher, have something to eat. He said, I have food you know nothing about. Somebody have brought him food? My food is to do the will of him who sent me and to complete the work of my Father. Don't you say, there are 4 months to the harvest. I say, look, the harvest is ripe. And even now, the reaper draws a wage unto eternal life. The saying is true. One reaps and another sows. And I have sent you to labor, to reap what you did not work for, unto a harvest of eternal life. The townspeople said to the woman, we no longer believe because of what you have told us, that this man told you everything that you ever did. We now believe because we have heard for ourselves that this man is really the Savior of the world. the word of the Lord. So here's a story out of the Gospels. It's a story that throughout you find Jesus ignoring, leaping over, and breaking down fences. Jesus leaps over geographical boundaries. Jesus reaches over and steps over racial and ethnic boundaries. Jews do not associate with Samaritans. He shatters cultural gender roles and expectations by talking to a woman. The old rabbis taught that it was immoral to speak with a woman in public. He challenges and steps over religious and theological boundaries and fences. The very idea that he would drink from the cup of a Samaritan was considered impure. Not only that, but being in Samaria itself was considered impure. Jesus leaps over boundary after boundary, fence after fence, is probably a better word. And in the story, we find a Samaritan woman who represents all of us as spiritual seekers who are on a journey. The woman becomes for us, for the disciples and for us, an example. We see her real thirst being satisfied, and that we see the living water bubbling up in her with her urgency to do the work of Christ that begins to spring up in her. And she herself becomes a part of the flowing river that comes from Christ. And she goes into town and she shares her story with the people of Samaria. And we see that implied in the story is that Jesus, the sower, and the woman as the reaper are rejoicing together over this great harvest in Samaria. We see that her morality and her race and her gender are no hindrance to the work of the Holy Spirit. And Jesus draws the woman to herself. He sparks her curiosity and he lets her taste. And then it flows from her into the community. The fields are ripe for harvest. So the message for us is that we are not the well. I don't want anybody to be confused about that idea, that we are not the well. Jesus is the well. We come to the well and we drink. We have our needs met. And then we go and we bring others to the well. And it doesn't matter where they are or what boundaries, what obstacles they feel like they need to cross. God calls us to live such curious lives that they see what we're eating and drinking spiritually. And they say, I want some of that. It's a noble and wonderful and challenging call for us as God's people, particularly in a world as broken and divided and committed to fence building as we are. Let us pray. Holy and righteous God, we thank you for your mercy. We ask that you would give us a drink of living. Amen.
for listening. To find out more, check us out at storeschurch.org.